online everywhere at xray.fm, accepting donations at xray.fm. As you know, we are here in our fall pledge drive, trying to raise $40,000 to support the ongoing operations and growth of the station. You can get in on the action by heading to xray.fm/donate or calling the pledge line 503-233-9729, 503-233-X-RAY. You know my voice by now. I've been on the air all morning. This is Chase. I am joined by a very special guest, though, for the next hour, but probably not the whole hour, but we're going to chat for a bit. Lisa Lipton. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's great to have you. You're the executive director of 45th Parallel. I mentioned Universe earlier in our off-the-air chat, so we'll get into that. You're also a host on All Classical, KQAC, here for people in Portland, and a neighbor at the Falcon Art Building.
I am a neighbor, yeah. My studio is number 13, if you're ever in this building.
Lucky.
It's rare, but you can knock on my door. I might be there.
Right on. Yeah. Yeah. Well, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to talk probably about that wide range of group of things, but it's great to have our arts community member, nonprofit community member here. But you're really first and foremost joining us to talk about 45th Parallel and some events you have coming up. Let's start at the basics. What is 45th Parallel, Universe or not?
Yeah. I loved that conversation we kind of had as a sidebar earlier where is it 45th Parallel or is it the 45th Parallel Universe?
Yeah.
And the answer is it's both.
Okay.
You know, we want it to be really broad because within 45th Parallel Universe, there are many constituent ensembles. And what I mean by that is there's a ton of different little groups. There's a wind quintet, so we've got five wind players, and then there's two string quartets, not just one, but two. Yeah. Then we've got a percussion ensemble, and then we have the full universe, which they do play as a chamber orchestra.
Okay.
So that could be, you know, 11 to 15 or 16 players at a time. Usually we only do that once a year, once every 2 years, but the constituent ensembles, they play all the time.
Yeah.
And then we sort of have, you know, frequent collaborators. I mentioned that there's 11 true members, but there's sort of 14 ad hoc members.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, well, what makes it 45th Parallel? And it is these constituent ensembles, but it's also all of the members, save for a few, are in the Oregon Symphony. So that's one thing. Another thing is that it's democratically, artistically governed.
Okay. I was going to go there. So
yeah.
Tell me what that means.
We have an executive director, which is me.
Right.
And then we've got this collective of musicians that have to come up with their season programming. Usually, you know, we provide some guidance or like, you know, each ensemble is going to have a concert, but then they've got, you know, we've got more months or more time in the season than there is that many ensembles. So then they have this process of submitting ideas to each other, and then they vote in like ranked choice voting.
Yeah. Oh, you use ranked choice voting.
We use ranked choice.
Fantastic.
You know, we're just ahead of the curve here.
We
tried that a year or two before the city, so
yeah,
pretty happy about that.
Well, good job. I was involved with a group that worked on the ranked choice voting stuff here in Portland, and then of course X-rated a bunch of promotion of some events around it. So I'm glad to see it's taking hold in more than just our local city politics.
Yeah, I kind of love it. In like some respect, I love that we're all trying it at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it's not that I think that, you know, larger democratic ways are broken. It's like when you have a large amount of people and you're trying to reach a consensus that's fair, you know,
yes,
it's kind of a natural inclination.
Yeah, you're just trying to go to the plurality.
Yeah.
You don't want the lesser of two evils when you're trying to figure out what to do with your chamber orchestra.
Oh, no. We want the best possible.
The best you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, that kind of the thought occurred to me as you were talking about the different groups. I'm like, how do you even figure out what programming you're going to do with that kind of group? But
yeah. And I'll say that we also welcome people to pitch things to us.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, an artist or a composer will come to members of the group or maybe something outside of that. And then the group, you know, might discuss that. A lot of times, though, what's really special is that these musicians, you know, they play for a living. Yeah. And we love the Oregon Symphony. We're huge fans of them, and we're collaborating with them later on in the season. And we're, you know, generally speaking, huge fans of all the larger arts orgs because they create the nice sort of, if we're going to use a farm analogy, fertile ground for the rest of us to be able to have a platform and kind of grow more stuff in the community. They're creating that culture of going to shows.
Right.
But they are often, you know, just showing up to work. They're getting paid to play. And that's the deal. And they and everyone loves this. This is a concept I think you and I also love.
Yeah.
It's like the reason that radio is important, or the reason that arts and culture institutions are important, is there are people funding them in the community, and then artists or makers or culture creators get to show up and they have a job.
Yeah.
But then everyone also has a desire for artistic inclination or something else, creation,
yes,
especially if you're an artist. And so these musicians, they get to come up with their own ideas.
Cool.
And sort of, it's things that maybe they wouldn't be able to do in their symphony life, or maybe they want to see come to fruition and have a lot of people see these ideas. So that's kind of what's exciting about it. It's a little bit, I don't want to say this word, but I don't have another one. So Wild West.
Okay.
You know, like it's kind of like the unknown territory.
Yeah.
Which for me, universe works for that because you're exploring, right?
Right. Okay.
You're kind of jutting out into the universe and seeing what else is out there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of all of it in a nutshell.
Well, it's got to be exciting for people because, and I don't know as much because I'm not involved in that world so much, but I would imagine there's a lot of kind of organizations deciding we're going to play this and everybody's going to go play this. So to be able to kind of be able to participate in the decision making about what it is that happens has got to be exciting for people.
Oh, yeah. I think it's like super critical.
Yeah.
I think that no matter who you are, if you're an artist or you're just a community member, or you are, let's say you're in sales somewhere, or maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're in local politics. That's awesome, and oftentimes it's a lot of people's passions is what they do during their day job. But then there's always this sort of other category, like what do you do in your free time, or what do you do that's important to you, but maybe there isn't a streamlined outlet in your day-to-day life. So I think that's true for everyone. It just shakes out in a different capacity. And I think 45th Parallel Universe is a creative capacity in which people can fulfill these dramatic creative urges.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, and it seems like there's a lot about bridging gaps, too, in your mission. I was reading a bit about this. You're talking about connecting audiences with less access to the performing arts, and then also maybe bridging different styles or communities. Can you talk with me about how that kind of informs the work that you guys do, or how you make the decisions that you do?
Yeah, there's a huge desire to work with other art forms. So we've done a myriad of performances with film.
Okay.
So film projection with the musicians playing at the same time. And that could be behind a screen even, or, you know, creating these large, almost like warehouse feel shows that do that. There's also the desire to work with, you know, literature or radio. They did a radio opera not too long ago. I want to say 3 seasons ago.
Okay.
So it's, I don't know if it's dependent on one person or one thing or another, but it's like, it's almost like, you know, you might have this conversation 5 years ago, or sometimes you could have the conversation like a year ago. It's dependent on how big the project is.
Yeah.
And then I feel like everyone is pretty open to exploring sort of these larger facets. Sometimes it falls under one of the constituent ensembles.
Okay.
So maybe Pixis Quartet, which is one of the quartets, might be more interested in working with film. So they might be, you know, one of the ensembles that sort of does that. Or it becomes one of the larger shows, which we refer to as hybrids.
Okay.
Because they aren't necessarily always everyone, but they are usually a mix of different people from different ensembles within the universe.
Cool. That's gonna be exciting to watch people kind of intermingle with that, and maybe the sum of it is greater than all of its parts at the end.
Oh yeah. And it's like, it's always really exciting because a lot of the stuff that happens, even if it's not new music, even if it's music we've heard before, it's being done in a way that you just kind of, you're not sure how it's gonna go.
Cool. The nature of experimentation in art.
Yeah, I would posit the one thing that you can be sure of is that the quality of the music will be very, very high, because these musicians, for those of you that may not know, when you are, you know, looking to join a symphony, there's many different types of symphonies. There's community ensembles. There's symphonies that maybe have a season that's 1 to 7 concerts a year.
Okay.
There's some that are maybe a little bit more than that. And then there's different tiers of professional orchestras, and this is considered a tier 1. So a lot of these people spend their entire lives auditioning. They might take 70 auditions before landing this.
Wow.
They might only take 6. kind of depends on the person, and or the position. But so they've gone kind of through a creative, rigorous process to get here. And also, I think that's part of the reason why this group is so important, because they still, once they go through that creative process, they're auditioning to play a set of things and circumstances that they won't have artistic control over.
Yeah.
Okay. So they might be like one of the best musicians in town and have no outlet to kind of be something else inside of that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. There's a juxtaposition of it's creative work and it takes talent and practice, but a lot of the paid work might be not necessarily creative as much as it is reproducing a piece of work.
Exactly. And there's something really beautiful about that. Like, I love and think it's important that we maintain really valuable skills. Like, we've seen an uptick in high schoolers learning trades. Okay. And I think that's really, really valuable. Like, we lost the knowledge on how to make Roman concrete. What a shame.
Yeah.
Just like, I know that's kind of a stretch, but I do think about this concept of learning a classical form or learning this knowledge and continuing it and expanding on it, I think is so critical. So I do think that infrastructure is really important, but I think we also have to, as community members and as people who are also maybe creative or artists ourselves, create aspects for people to have that other outlet or to celebrate it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think art is progress in some ways because it's about exploring and trying to find something new. And the creative process, you don't even know where it's going all the time. And it's vital to be able to experience or explore in that area.
And it's like one of the only places left where I feel like we have an apolitical problem solving going on.
Okay.
I feel like art, though it is not always apolitical, problem solving within arts, or, you know, coming together to celebrate beauty just for an inherent sake of that, is sort of in itself weirdly a problem solving mechanism.
Okay.
Because it strips you of all of the ability to, you know, come together over anything else. It's like when I think about why is it important to go see, you know, the symphony, the opera, or to go see a Monet painting that you've seen, you know, maybe in a postcard, maybe your grandma sent you a postcard, or you've seen it in a book, but there's something different about experiencing art, even if it's not gonna change the course of your day immediately. I think there's something critical about being reminded that we are people and, you know, creatures that enjoy beauty for just that sake. And there's no other, there may be other deep meaning, and there also doesn't need to be.
Yeah. It's common, find some commonality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will tell you, I set off the alarm at the art museum once by looking too close at the Van Gogh that they had. So
I'm obsessed.
The brush strokes were just really good. I didn't mean to get that close to it. I didn't touch it, though.
There you go.
Let's talk about the fall season and what's going on with 45th Parallel. You know, we wanted to chat a little bit about this show you have, or this concert on Monday, October 27th, Golden Girls of Broadway, and it's spelled G-H-U-R-L-S.
Yes, the girls.
The girls. Tell us what's going on. When is it, and what is it? What can people expect?
Yeah, it's October 27th. It's at the Brunish Theater, I believe named after Corey Brunish, who is a Portlander who works on Broadway shows. Like,
okay.
He's kind of a huge deal in the Broadway world.
All right.
And I don't know that a lot of people know that this theater, I mean, it's the same last name, so I'm just going to assume there.
Okay, we'll go out on the limb.
Yeah, we'll go out on the limb here. And it's right across from the Schnitz. It's in the same building as the Winningstad. And it's a really nice little almost black box theater, but it's bigger than that. And I think it's cool and important to do things downtown. You know, historically, we've been at the Madeline Church and we're exploring some other venues. This one felt really good because we're doing Broadway. We're doing things I associate with downtown. And it's special because it's Zach Galatis. And for those of you that don't know, he's the Oregon Symphony Piccolist. He's in the flute section, but he is an unbelievable musical theater talent.
Okay.
And this is, you could say, okay, yeah, but he does teach a class at PSU on this and is helping build the program there for musical theater.
Okay.
And in addition to that, when Kristen Chenoweth came to sing with the Oregon Symphony, who is kind of a household name in Broadway, she was made very famous by her rendition of Glitter and Be Gay, among other things, among Wicked, many things in her career. But, you know, it's funny because she was here and she was singing and he did part of the sound check, some of the vocal stuff. She heard him and was like, oh my God. And so they actually sang together in the concert.
Okay, cool.
So not that, you know, like this is a person who is above and beyond, maybe the best musician I actually know.
All right.
So all of these pieces, they're going to be Broadway originals or things inspired by sort of the attitude of Broadway. They are arranged for string quartet, piano, and a special guest.
Oh.
And they feature pretty much all of the women in 45th Parallel Universe are backing him up.
All right. Great.
Not the original concept for the girls, but, you know, the girls, the spelling of the girls has come up a few times. And it was just sort of a fun little twist because Zach will be singing all roles of females from Broadway.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So think like Liza Minnelli, Barbara Streisand, like huge names and people from, you know, the most current exciting Broadway roles as well. So it's sort of a theater review throughout the ages. But
Very cool.
I wanted to call, I mean, I feel like Golden Girls, it's like there's so many exciting things related to that. There's the television show.
Right, right.
Do you watch Golden Girls?
I have not watched Golden Girls in a while. I've seen a couple episodes, but
I think that's your Friday night plan. Now.
Okay, yeah. I'll have to put it on my rotation.
But it's just a really fun and exciting show, and I feel like Broadway is such a big part of a lot of people's joy, and it's kind of one of those art forms where there's a lot of people that go to Broadway in Portland, but we don't see a lot of overlap necessarily in the classical community.
Okay.
And I encourage you, if you go to Broadway and you're listening right now, this is the show for you because it has a hint of some of the more classical attributes, but it is a show of Broadway tunes.
Cool.
And it's just going to be super fun.
Yeah.
I think everyone really needs art and things right now that make them laugh or make them think of their humanity. And that's what this show does.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, it sounds great. It's on October 27th, 8 to 9 p.m. How can people get tickets? How can people go? Do you want to reveal who the special mystery guest is and just ruin the surprise for everybody live on the air?
Yeah, I do. Okay. If you're listening right now, it's a super beautiful, just quick little cameo from someone else in the wind section.
Okay.
She plays oboe. I'm just going to say her name is Karen.
Okay.
And so if you're listening and you know, you know.
All right.
But it's going to be awesome. www.45thparallelpdx.org. So you can just go to our website. Tickets are available online there. If you go to the Portland P5 websites, you can find it there also. You can also buy them at the box office.
Well, there you go.
You can
walk up and get a ticket.
What's
you said it's a little bit bigger than a black box or larger. What's the capacity of that space? Do you know?
Around 160.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, you might want to get your tickets in advance.
You might. Yeah. You might want to purchase it soon. Yeah. I know that there's been some activity today online.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't wait until the absolute last minute.
Yeah.
Because Zach is also very popular.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's a good approach to having a successful show. Get somebody that's popular in it.
I mean, yeah. Who doesn't want that?
Yeah.
You got to give the people what they want to see.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you for taking the bait on my mystery guest question, too. I didn't think you were going to do that. you have another thing coming up in November as well. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, this is a very special collaboration with the Oregon Symphony. We've never really collaborated with them on a show, to my knowledge.
Okay.
And I think, yeah, it's so basically we're both presenting this concept and it's a concert crawl.
Yeah.
Every year, 45th Parallel for the past 3 years has done a pub crawl.
Okay. Okay.
And so we have klezmer clarinets in one bar. We have jazz or something sort of poppy in another bar. And then at the end, we drive everyone to go to the main stage show at Mississippi Studios.
Cool.
Which is a cello sextet. And this year they're going to do a Charlie Brown Christmas.
Cool.
Duke Ellington's The Nutcracker
arranged
for drum kit and cello sextet. And then some very special new pieces with singer-songwriter Jim Brunberg. So that is always like a fun kind of community holiday event. And then I heard that, you know, the Oregon Symphony was interested in doing sort of something similar. We're calling it a concert crawl because it's on a Sunday starting at noon.
Right. Okay.
But like a pub crawl, you can still drink at every location, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Yes. That's important. Yes.
Yeah. It starts at Polaris Hall, and then it goes to the Native Arts and Cultures Foundation Center.
Okay.
And then it goes to Show Bar, which is inside Revolution Hall.
Right.
Yeah. And so this three location thing is sort of to create this like fun afternoon, all day experience. It's about 45 minutes to an hour of music at each location.
Okay.
And it's all Carolyn Shaw.
Okay.
So cool. She actually lives she's in the Portland area, but her good friend Gabriel Kahane had this idea like, hey, what if we do that? And he's been working with the Oregon Symphony in a creative capacity for a few years.
All right.
So we started to talk about it, and I was like, this is great. And so we sort of joined forces to figure out, okay, how is this going to go?
Yeah.
You know, who's going to go where? There's also going to be a special vocal guest at the first location, which
okay.
is kind of exciting.
Okay. I won't make you spill the beans on that one.
Oh, that one we can spill,
okay,
though.
Okay.
It's already cats out of the bag. It's
right.
Madeline Ross,
all right,
who you might recognize. She's also the leader of Renegade Opera.
Okay.
So kind of a fun, special thing. If you know anything about Carolyn Shaw's music, vocals tend to be a kind of big part of it. Not
okay.
always, but they're always very beautiful, and there's like this haunting quality.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that a logistical challenge? How does she feel about having to shuttle between three different venues in the afternoon?
She's only going to be at the first one.
Okay.
But you should know that yeah. some of the musicians from each location will go
okay.
to each location.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
I don't think it's a logistical thing because there's a little bit of time in between each one just
yeah.
to give people the ability to like reset and go over there or, you know, do what they need to do in the interim. Maybe you need to walk your dog. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They start at 12 and end at 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's supposed to be sort of a like a very leisurely Sunday afternoon of concerts, but it's going to be very beautiful. And I think just what we need, you know. This is we're in fall, but we're starting to head towards some rainier weather.
Yeah.
And who knows what it'll be like weather-wise? Could be really awesome.
Yeah,
could be really rainy.
Yeah, it's interesting. It feels like it's been more consistently nice weather. I don't know if it's the right kind of weather for October or November in the Pacific Northwest, but you know, I was commenting on it with some of our DJs yesterday at an event. We were like, "Well, it's really nice."
I know. I think about this too. Like, is it okay? Are we okay?
Yeah.
Even though it's 70 and I love it.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah.
But the concert crawl, you can get tickets also on our website. It'll redirect you to the Oregon Symphony website. But that is, you can do all three, and there's a little discount if you do all three too. We're calling
okay.
it a pass.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I mean, it feels like you'd get the whole experience by doing all three.
I think it's a better move. Yeah. Bring your neighbor.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bring your kids.
All ages?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And you can eat at the last location. There's burgers and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not supposed to plug things on the radio, but Show Bar or Bar Bar, they're known for their burgers.
Yeah. And so that was kind of a little bit of the concept, too. It was like, make it fun, make it like, you know, people can kind of settle in.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, it sounds like a good slate of events coming up. If you're just tuning in, my name's Chase, and I've been talking with Lisa Lipton of the 45th Parallel, and you're also an all-classical host on KQAC, and as I said, a neighbor down here in the Falcon. I'm curious, how did you get started in radio? What's kind of your journey there? If we can pivot away from 45th Parallel to radio person talk for a minute, because X-Ray is here on our pledge drive, and it's always fun to talk with other radio folks.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about other radio stations. I love radio.
Yeah.
I've always loved radio. I, in fact, was one of those people in my teen years that entered competitions, sometimes did win.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean competitions?
You know, like where you could call in and like answer a question.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And like
yeah.
for prizes. I think this was before we all had internets on the phones.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Or maybe some people had internet, but it wasn't
yeah.
it wasn't like the inclination wasn't I'm gonna just go look this up.
So you had like a favorite local radio station you would call and like
105.1 The Buzz.
All right.
Yeah, back in the day. But and actually there were other radio stations, but I liked that one a lot.
Okay.
I liked the talk shows on that one.
Cool. Okay.
which is kind of funny.
Any memorable things that you won? Did you win?
Yeah, I actually won. The best thing that I won actually was a Father's Day prize.
Okay.
And it was like a haircut and then like maybe a gift certificate for food and then a Powell's gift card for my dad.
Okay, great.
So
you were covered that year.
Yeah, totally covered. I also said my name super fast.
Yeah.
When I like, you know, got picked up, I was like, it's Lisa Lipton. And they thought I said it's eucalyptus.
Oh, no.
So that was kind of fun. Yeah, I've always been intrigued by radio. I listen to it all the time. It's my primary news source, actually.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
It's still very important for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oftentimes I'm in my car going from meeting to meeting, or, you know, I like and enjoy having talk radio on versus other things. I know a lot of people like to have television on or some other form of media.
Television while driving is not really a great,
no,
great combo.
No, don't do it.
Yeah.
Tune into X-Ray FM instead.
Yes. It's like television, but for your ears.
It's, yes. Yeah. And there's also like a lot of interesting programs. It's not just like one thing or another. I think that's what I love so much about radio stations in general, is that there's typically a lot of variety and you don't get stuck in a rut.
Yeah.
Even when I'm like doom scrolling on Instagram, it's like my algorithm informs itself.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And then it's totally fine when you get stuck in like a kitten loop. But when you're not in a kitten loop, it can be scary and or tragic. And then sometimes you get to a place where like you are not sure what's going on and it's not good. But that won't happen if you're listening to radio.
There are more guardrails on on that. My algorithm got me in a place where I'm like watching these videos of it's just a disembodied hand like mixing colors together. Like paint,
that's nicer.
Color magic. Yeah,
I think that's therapeutic. Actually good.
Yeah,
I don't know how I get where I get sometimes.
Yeah,
I will say
I don't know how I got there, but
I do have this fascination with watching people eat weird foods that I sometimes will seek out later. But that also, then you get to foods that you would never seek out, and that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, you asked me how I got into radio, and
this is
how we got here.
Yeah, yeah.
So. I've always been fascinated. I've always been interested in public speaking also.
Okay.
I do a fair amount of that.
Yeah.
Both for my job at All Classical Radio, as well as with 45th Parallel, Opera Theater Oregon. It's always been of interest.
Yeah.
I would say that I've gotten progressively better at it.
Okay.
Especially since I was in Newport. Newport Symphony had a lot of larger engagements.
Yeah. Okay.
That it was kind of like, okay, you know, pony up, let's go.
Yeah.
And actually, while I was there, I started doing our announcements because we did announcements on the radio.
Okay.
And then at some point, I found out there was this show that had been on air for 17 years.
Wow.
That was just sort of in limbo because of the pandemic. And it was called Arts Talk.
Okay.
And it had formerly been held by the executive director of the Oregon Coast Council for the Arts.
Okay.
And she had retired. And then I think some other people maybe had toyed with picking it up, but they weren't really the right fit. I don't know if they didn't necessarily love radio or maybe their schedules were too crazy. I'm not sure. But I was like, oh, I'll totally do that. So I just kind of got into this in like a very intense and like right on the frying pan sort of way.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went on with a live show every Tuesday.
Cool.
For almost 2 years, and that was kind of my first experience.
It will grab you, and like radio will bring you in. Sometimes I've noticed it's not so much like you choose it, but you end up in it, or it chooses you in some way.
Yeah, and I loved it. And it was expansive. Arts Talk included arts and culture and media of the Central Oregon coast.
Cool.
So it was interesting. I had a lot of very cool guests, sometimes in science, sometimes in like housing nonprofits. Sometimes I was able to get a lot of our out-of-town guests on air, which was very cool. And it just sort of was varied depending on the time and season. You know, sometimes the Oregon coast weather-wise is really rough.
Yeah.
So oftentimes I had to sort of be creative with the guests. But that was my first experience. And I've always really, really loved All Classical. And I've been obsessed with it for a really long time.
Okay.
And so after I took the position here, I was looking to get involved somehow and maintain sort of that outlet for myself because I really liked it. I really enjoyed getting to know other arts people or people in culture. And I just, I don't know, I missed it.
Yeah. So you got the call at All Classical. You wanted to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I emailed and inquired, and then it kind of went from there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You get to live your All Classical radio dreams.
Hey.
Awesome. Well,
how did you get into radio?
I was I've been at X-Ray for about 10 years. Well, actually, that's not true. About 11 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of working some very menial, not important jobs that didn't pay much and didn't give me a lot of time to work. So yeah. I was very broke and kind of depressed about it. And I was living here in Portland, and I was talking to a roommate of mine at the time about that. And he was just like, well, this radio station started up. You should check it out. So I started listening to X-Ray because it had gone on the air in March of 2014. And this would have been the summer of 2014.
Was this when it was it ever by the Moda Center? Am I remembering that incorrectly?
We had a studio that was, so there was like an active space meeting spot that was on Sandy.
Okay.
I did my volunteer orientation there. And then a couple of months later, I started like tabling and doing very entry-level things, phone banking, calling people and asking them for money. And I think that was impressive because I would do it, you know, and people would give you money. So that was good. And I've just kind of been at X-Ray ever since and taken on a bunch of different roles. And here I am now as one of the few staff people.
Nice.
Yeah. So it kind of grabbed me and snowballed, and I just fell in love with it, really.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yay.
Yeah. It's been an awesome, cool, life-changing journey over the last 10 years.
And you should support X-Ray if you can. Call 503-233-9729. That's 233-9729. Or you can go online, xray.fm/donate. Actually, if you go to their main homepage, it's pretty easy to find. And they're in the middle of their drive. They're asking for $40,000, which is pretty modest in my opinion.
Yeah.
So if you can give $5, if you can give $10, maybe you can give $150. Maybe you have an extra chunk lying around and you are like, I need to make some X amount of gift before taxes this next year. You can do that for X-Ray FM.
You're a professional. Fantastic. But take that advice. Call that number or go to the website. The website's a very easy way to donate. And there's all sorts of cool swag you can get. And you're going to enter to win this Tom Dwyer Automotive Services certificate. You can go get your car checked out by Tom Dwyer Automotive Services. We had some of them on earlier today.
They're awesome.
Yeah, and you might be interested in this, the grand prize drawing. Check that out.
Whoa, the grand prize drawing. Any new or existing members that donate during the drive will be entered into the grand prize, a Movie Madness Miniplex rental, where the winner and up to 18 of their friends can have a private film screening at Movie Madness with the state-of-the-art 4K laser projection and Dolby Atmos sound. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's like a really, it's also like a cool flex for you to be like, hey, friends.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Guess what we're doing. You should, if somebody wins this, they should surprise all their friends. They should not tell them what they're doing.
But have them block off a chunk of like 4 hours.
Yeah, make sure they can go.
Yeah.
Make sure they can go. But you get to choose from Movie Madness's library. So you really get to kind of surprise your friends with whatever it is that you want to do.
I love this.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one.
Yeah. And like, it's cool.
Yes.
And it's spooky.
It is. It's spooky season. You could do something spooky. Head on over to the website. Be like Gian and Michael, who gave in the last hour, support the station.
Nice.
Lisa, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Before we go, any last words you want for the people? I like to give people the floor before they leave when I'm doing one of these.
That's very generous, actually.
Well, X-Ray is a community hub, right? We're putting a microphone to the best and most distinctive of Portland. We're creating a platform for people to share their voices and their ideas. It's your time.
Nice. I would just plug again, give to X-Ray if you can. That's very cool. It's also, so good to support your community. If you're a regular listener, please do that. Also, please go to 45th Parallel's website, 45th Parallel Universe. We are a chamber music collective, and we do a lot of collaborative performances, and we would just love to see you there. My name is Lisa Lipton. You can also email me at lisa@45thparallelpdx.org. Would love to hear from you.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And thanks so, you know, for putting all this work in and making the city a better place for arts and community. It takes people investing in it. So you're doing it. Hey, I got some Neil Young coming up, and then stay tuned because our very own Natasha Fisher is going to interview Dave Heatwave about his show this evening here in Portland.